Hey everyone, thank you for calling.
I'm just mad about saffron. Oh, saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow.
This is Jessica Baptiste. My intro song actually started to work this week, so I hope you guys enjoyed that 3 minute and 40 second song. I am very, very lucky and very blessed to have a good friend of mine. He is an abstract artist. His name is Whitney Warden, and he is on. You there, Whitney?
Hello, how you doing?
Good. How's it going?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I can hear you good.
I'm good. I was listening to the Mellow Yellow.
Yeah, I'm sure you've listened to that before. That probably wasn't the first time, was it?
No, it wasn't. I heard it before. But who's the band?
That's Donovan. He's from the United Kingdom. It actually came out in the 60s. So it's a old song, but it actually, I don't want to say it's one of his best known. He's done a couple of other songs. He was out around the time of the Mamas and the Papas. I think he did a song. I don't know if he did a song with Cass Elliot, but around that era, like the psychedelic era, it has kind of
right.
That twang to it. It pick up on it. But it actually became popular with the Gap ads. If people remember, in the mid to late 90s, Gap had these bandwagon commercials, and they actually had everyone in khakis, I want to say, and they were singing that song. So it had Saffron in it, so I thought it was kind of cute to go with the show. But
I liked it. It was better than what I was listening to before that song came on.
Oh, okay.
The track that was going on, it was some smooth jazz.
Oh, okay. Nothing wrong with that. That's good for a Sunday, smooth jazz.
But I like regular jazz.
Oh, exactly. Okay. Well, they're very, you know, inner genres of jazz. It's just not one particular type of jazz. Yeah. So how's everything going? Kind of introduce yourself to the audience. I know you, but.
That's right. Well, I'm Whitney. You know, Whitney, abstract artist. What did you put? Sometimes comedian. You know.
Yeah, you are sometimes comedian.
Yeah. Comedic, you know, but just enjoying things, you know, working on a piece. I was working on a piece for a friend, and it fell through. But it's fine though, because the good part is I still get to do the piece. You know, it just fell through. You know, I don't walk around with the malice inside my heart about it. You know.
Okay, I know you're also a huge fan of Jean-Michel Basquiat. We both are, you and me. But I think that you actually probably or know more about him. I'm sure you've watched his biopic several times.
Oh my God, I used to watch it like it was a record, like if you're listening to a Michael Jackson record. I just would just put it on and just look in awe. You know, I like his spirit. You know, I like his art, but even more than his art, I like his spirit that he had and how he came about. You know, almost effortless. So you know, he just really inspires you.
Yeah, and I actually this past, I think it was last year around October in New Orleans, his estate, which I think is ran by his family, they did a showing in New Orleans. I wanted to go to it, but time didn't allow so much for that to happen, to have a busy schedule. I would love to go to one of the shows, even if it's some of the stuff that, you know, it's not the ones that they're finding, but the older things that hung out in the galleries in New York in the early 80s, I would love to see it.
Yeah, me too.
Basquiat, one in a million, great, great artist. Seemed like a very gentle soul. I just got that impression, maybe because I'm a female, but I don't know.
I think I think he had a side, obviously, that was gentle, you know, because that's what made him an artist, is just a different balance of things. But he also had a fierce streak in him, also, from what I've seen, you know.
You can tell in his art.
Because he was young, you know, and he had a radical side, you know, completely so, you know.
It's just interesting that actually Andy Warhol took him under his wing and, you know, kind of was his mentor in a way. I didn't really appreciate any Warhol stuff until I got to be an adult, because now as a kid, I stuck to the safe stuff, what I consider to be safe, abstract art.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really get Warhol too much. I was more of a Norman Rockwell type of appreciator of that kind of art. More so as I got my 20s, I liked the Warhol, like, of course, you know, the Frida Kahlo stuff, Love Her to Death. My uncle.
Gerhard Richter. He's a good abstract artist also.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah.
But he's great. You know, he's one of my heroes.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that where you kind of get your inspiration from a little bit? Because I see some of your work. I see a little bit of Basquiat with the words and kind of with the images that you convey in your art. I see that a lot. Is that kind of where you draw some inspiration?
I draw, like I said, when it comes to Basquiat, the inspiration is just his spirit, you know, not just the fact that he paints, obviously the fact that he did paint also, but his spirit. But another hero of mine, like I said, Richter, I like what he does. I like the different shadings. I like the different layers. I like the
mm-hmm.
organized confusion. So I like an artist like him, and that's kind of how I have like about four different mentors that I, you know, claim for myself to help me go along, you know, and those are two of them, you know. And then some guys, Peter Dranaston, He's an abstract artist, and also a guy named Scott Taylor that I follow.
Okay.
And I just like their mode.
Yeah, and you also have some work that's for sale. I'm not too familiar with that site. I just basically, when you send it to me, I looked at it and wanted to buy one of the paintings from you. But if some of the other listeners, if they want to just look it up and see what your art's about, what's that site?
Please do, yeah. It's called Saatchi, Saatchi Art. It's S-A-A-T-C-H-I, Art. And if you put that in, you know, .com, obviously, if you put that in, you put in my name, Whitney Warden, and it'll pop up the things that happen. That's only a couple of things that I have posted up, and right now I'm in a different head. So what I'm going to be posting up in the next months or so is going to be a little bit different, but still the same spirit, you know.
As always. And a lot of my listeners, like I said, I've known Whitney for a couple of years, and besides being an artist, Whitney actually is a really great commentator on just current events and life in general. And one thing as two, you know, African-American artists, and one thing that I try to do a lot is not only support other African-American art and creativity, but also to kind of critique it sometimes. And one thing, and I know a lot of my listeners and audience that I like and Whitney likes too, is a lot of film and television. And one of the shows that I actually, besides Scandal, that I fell in love with was Empire. And I actually started watching it with a couple of my friends suggested it. And I like Terrence Howard, don't get me wrong. I like him. He's a smooth brother. I like him to pieces.
Right.
And I think on this show, the role actually fits him. Whoever did the casting for Empire did a wonderful job.
No, they did a great job producing, period. They really did.
Yeah. There was talk they wanted Monique to play Cookie's character, and I couldn't see that.
No.
And the only reason I couldn't see that is because Monique is a comedian and she's very funny, and I think it would have been more comedic in some roles than the drama part, even though she was good and precious.
They got the right person in Taraji. They went the right way.
They did. They really, really did.
Yeah.
But Empire, I love it. Because Terrence Howard, not just because the writing's good and the acting's wonderful, but because it's a believable character. And you really don't see that a lot on television. I mean, some of the stuff that he says, find atypical black dudes say stuff like that, especially ones that have money and power and prestige. You know, they get kind of down and dirty sometimes. Some of the stuff that he says, even though kind of bigoted, it's believable.
Yeah, now some people, I hate to say it, they refer to it as a coon show. I forgot this guy, Dr. Somebody, Bernard Shaw. I forget his name.
What?
He referred to it as a coon show. Like they don't like it. And I think that it's a good show. You know, it's an aspect. You know, it's believable that we have people like that inside our culture now at that level. And it's believable and entertaining. Everything doesn't have to be Sojourner Truth, you know, Martin Luther King, We'll Have a Dream message every time we do some type of, you know, work.
Yeah.
It can be lighthearted. It can be lighthearted also, you know, because sometimes when we stay stuck to that, that keeps us segregated and also off to the side also. Just, it's a regular drama, and it's good acting, you know, entertaining.
It is. And it's really, like, I have my whole lineup. Wednesdays is Cookie time, and then Thursdays it's Olivia time. And I actually fell in love with both shows. Scandal lately is kind of, and while I'm talking about Scandal, I actually have to send a shout out to Bam Erickson. He is a commentator on AfterBuzz TV Scandal. After every episode of Scandal that airs, he and three other commentators, they comment on the show. And a lot of times when they comment on the show, I do agree with it. And I actually follow him on Twitter. He's a really nice guy, kind of supportive about the show a little bit.
What is his name again?
Bam Erickson. Bam Erickson on Twitter. If you go to my Twitter page, you'll see that I follow him. But they actually do a very, very good job in sizing up the episode, the characters, and kind of give it a perspective that other people would not think about, but it's there. Lately, Scandal's kind of, I don't know, I'm liking it, but it's
was
just,
it lagging for you or something?
I mean, it's like you're waiting for something to happen and it never happens. That's how
that's
I feel.
Because the expectations are so high because of all the different crazy things they've done. I mean, just the other couple of episodes ago, this guy was chopping up people, you know, like meat with his hands. Like, that's pretty deep.
Well,
but you're just used to it. The shock value is different.
Yeah, but that's what Huck does. I mean, that's a part of him that, you know,
I'm not trying to disrespect the brother.
Oh, I'm not. It's terrific acting. But, I mean, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He was doing overkill. I mean, for all you out there that don't watch Scandal, we're kind of killing it and telling you a little bit about the show. But I think How to Get Away with Murder and Empire have really changed the scope of how African Americans are perceived, but also on value of our acting and the value of our creativity. When you have Shonda Rhimes, who did Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder, the fact that she is a prolific writer, you can tell, but her dialogue is so good. I love Joe Morton's monologue.
I like how to Get Away with Murder. It's a pretty good show. I thought I wasn't going to like it as much, but I really do like it.
I do. I don't know. It's something with Scandal and Empire. I don't know. I can't explain it. I just can't. How to Get Away with Murder, I don't know. It's something that show that's bothered me.
What are you listening to musically?
I mean, you know, my taste are different. I listen to everything. And you're not going to be surprised, but actually the song that I picked out during the break is going to be something that I think that you is right up your alley. That's all I think.
Okay.
But, I mean, I listen to everything. I really don't listen to a lot of contemporary rap. I do, but I can't feel it. You know?
Yeah, no, rap is dead right now. Hip hop is cool, but rap is so dead right now. I mean, you know, it's not like an old guy saying it, even though I'm an old person, too, but it truly is, you know, bull crap.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like we're sounding dated.
Yeah, I know. The music was better.
Was
better at a certain time. I mean, I'm not being funny. Everybody knows that, but it's fine. I still like the culture. Culture's hip hop, yay. You know?
Yeah, but it's changed so much. I mean, I guess for me, I was born in the 80s, and I was a young kid when rap really was infiltrating the masses, I should say. And then when I got to be teenager.
Oh, man, that sounds that sounds sad.
Well, listen, you have, you know, white kids in suburbia listen to N.W.A.
Right.
Really? I mean, and the thing is, the stuff that Dre and Easy were talking about, I mean, that's what Grandmaster Flash and them were saying, but they were saying it in a very clean way. N.W.A. just took it to that next level.
Oh, they did. Yeah. I mean, I'm not critiquing it, you know, to that level. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just interesting. I don't know what the state of rap. I like it, but give me Pac, give me Biggie, give me Snoop.
It sounds like some same old usual suspects, but it almost sounds cliche. But it's true. You know, they're great, and everything else in that genre also, not just those two guys. You know, the martyrs. You know, but I agree. You know, I stop it.
It's fun you call them martyrs.
Because of how they were killed, you know, and the footprint that they left afterwards is different than maybe if they were alive. You know, you would have looked at them different. They became, you know, holier than thou, if you will, because of how they were taken out. You know,
so
they
do
were still
you
great.
Think that if they would have survived, where do you think that they would be right now? I don't think the rap game would be what it is today if they had survived. I really don't.
I think it would and it wouldn't be. I think they would have made a difference, but by now the difference they would have made would have also been eaten up by whatever's going on right now, if you follow me. That still would have been dead. It would have been a little bit of a different hiccup in the beginning part, you know, if they would have lived throughout the 90s into the 2000s. But where we're at now, it still would have been where we're at right now. You know, this was coming, you know, because the corporations got involved with it, and they dictate what really comes out. So that was going to happen.
Yeah, and I really would love for anyone that is under the age of, I would say, 25, 26, you know, do some research on how hip-hop really started. And a lot of people think, oh, yeah, it's the Sugar Hill Gang and all of them. But, I mean, really understand, and I know you being from Brooklyn, you were caught, you saw all of that, because that's really – and I may get a lot of flack in saying this, really the birthplace of hip hop was in New York and other
metropolitan. Yeah, in the Bronx. You got to say it. My wife's in the Bronx. The Bronx. But yeah, New York, you know. And definitely, okay. You know.
So are you Brooklyn or are you the Bronx?
No, I'm just letting people know that hip hop was birthed in the Bronx. But no, I'm from Brooklyn, you know, but it's still New York, you know, the five boroughs. Yeah, so yeah, that's where I'm from. But yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn, the Bronx, and where are the other boroughs in New York?
You got Brooklyn, Bronx. You have Queens, where I later moved to, because you know I'm not just Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn, the beginning part of my life. Then I was in Queens. You know, so it's Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, Staten Island, and what's the other one? I'm forgetting something. I know. Did I say the Bronx? I'll say Bronx again.
Then it's Manhattan. Okay. Manhattan is a borough?
Yeah. I sound really silly right now. That's all right. That's because I had a little bit strong enough before I got on the phone.
Are you losing some New York points over here? We'll change the subject. I don't want you to lose any New York points to any New Yorker.
No, that proves I'm a little simple-minded right about now. I'm glad.
Yeah, but New York and a lot of people, not just the fact that it was a foundation of hip-hop culture, but y'all had a lot of other crazy stuff to happen in New York. Bernie Getz, I remember.
Oh, yeah. No,
Bernie
definitely.
Getz.
Yeah, no, I remember when that happened. You know, Bernie Getz, I remember when there was a – Howard Beach, you know, situation.
Oh, yeah, that was real. Yusef Hawkins.
A lot of crazy things that happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
It all happened in New York. And then, you know, obviously 9/11, all that. Yeah, a lot of pinnacle things, you know.
In New York, yeah. It's just.
I miss New York.
It's a very, very.
I like where I'm at now, though. I like Atlanta.
Okay. I mean, it's cool, I think, where you're at. I'm in Charlotte, and. I like Charlotte. I think in the next 3 to 5 years, it's really going to take off more so than it already is. We have a lot of Northerners down here.
Yeah,
you know?
they take them away from New York.
Break out. So what? Go back.
They go back. You know, because, you know, at one time people had migrated from the South to the North. Now they're like, go back South. If you can't cut it in New York.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that are retiring are coming down to Charlotte. And Charlotte's very progressive. A lot of people don't think it is, but even politically, there are a lot of Democrats and Obama supporters down here that it's kind of, even in the burbs.
Obama did it.
You know, you would think, yeah, I see a lot of Obama bumper stickers, Obama, Biden, you know, bumper stickers in the burbs. Of Charlotte, and this is, you know, that's where all the money is. Okay, that's where
there's definitely supporters out there, you know. What do you feel about Obama?
Oh, yeah.
Are you happy with his work, with his job, what he's done?
I think when you look at where we were when he first got there, and I'm not talking about the second term, I'm talking about the first term, the fact that he has changed some stuff, and he was able to get bin Laden where others didn't.
Right.
You got to give the man his props. You got being president, and this is what people have to understand. They really don't, and it bothers me how people really do not understand the will of the government. They really do not understand what being president is all about, and the fact that even though you elected him president, you have to elect his help. You can't just put him into the lion's den and say, okay, Obama, you're the gladiator today. You do it. You have to give him some support. So it's a hard job. It's not a job that I think a person with thin skin could go into. He was made for it, and
right.
I think he's calling. So when you're in that realm of fulfilling a calling, you have a sense of protection. But at the same time, you have some people that, you know, we elected you and look what you've done. Well, what do you mean by that? I find that a lot now across the board.
So people,
I don't know
like you
if
said,
you know that.
People don't actually realize how hard it is to do the things that he's doing. So we're looking at it like we look at the news, and you hear things here and there, little sound bites, and you say, why can't you do that? And not realize how much it takes just to do one thing and change this momentum that was set in a whole different direction. You know, but I think
yeah.
it was great that he became president. You know, I think it calmed a lot of things down, especially that first term. I think it settled everything that was happening, and we came off that ten year war. You know, so it was good to see that face, a new face. You know.
Yeah, I actually watched the movie on Sarah Palin that Julianne Moore played. I'm gonna say this. I'm just gonna say this. I wonder how much was made up, because the way they portrayed her, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me.
Wow,
the woman did not know.
I mean.
But the way that the movie was very good, and basically the whole gist of the movie was in the middle of the 2008 presidential election season, John McCain, and this is how it was portrayed in the movie, was losing momentum, and they wanted to pick a good vice president pick for him. So his campaign people, which one of them is played by Woody Harrelson, I think Andy, I can't remember his last name, but they picked Palin. She was governor of Alaska. She was a woman, very conservative to the point of being a Federalist, but
mm-hmm.
some of the stuff that when they were prepping her, I'm not going to lie, I'm a history minor. I was a history minor in college, but even so, just listening to history in a fifth grade classroom, you knew some of the answers to some of the things that they were trying to tell her. The
right.
fact that she know that who bombed us or who was flying the planes over the World Trade Center in 2001, 9/11, the fact that she thought it was Saddam Hussein. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, they
picked
her up because of Hillary Clinton a long time ago. I mean, that's why the guy that said, you know, those guys have a female, we have to have a female. That's how they operate. You know, so that's why they snatched her up. And they didn't even know what they were dealing with at the time.
But yeah. Whitney, there were so many other. I'm talking about intelligent, well-spoken Republican women who could make sense of the Republican ideology, more so than her. What
they
happened
don't want
to
that.
Them?
Want somebody that can puppeteer a little bit easier than that, maybe.
Oh, that backfired on them. I just saw the movie, and I see why Obama won, and it was interesting. I would say that, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in 2016. I wonder if Hillary. I know she's getting older and she's a grandmother
yeah.
now, and all this stuff going on.
Why do people do that? If it was a guy, they wouldn't be saying he's a grandpa. They say that's so bad.
Yeah,
that's not right.
They ripped her off, Gazi.
she's a gam gam. She's a gam gam now.
Oh gosh. But they just rip shreds over that. And a lot of people don't know Hillary's backstory. Hillary and Bill were not born with silver spoons in their mouth. They came from working class families. Okay? They
yeah,
had
whatever.
To work.
They're rich now. They've been rich for a long time.
But
I mean, you know.
Saying they're back. But they had, actually, they left the White House in debt. Yeah, they personally were in debt, even though he left the surplus, but that's on the budget. But that's another story that got destroyed, ridiculously. But I'm not going to go there.
So they didn't have any cash, or they just went bankrupt, so they can, you know, keep the cash that they had.
I don't think it's about bankruptcy. I think that they had to. There were, from the article I read, there were like mortgages on houses that had to be paid for. And they had to do a lot of public appearances for money. Like, that's how politicians work.
I mean,
I'm not trying to take light on it,
but, you know, I owe things, and I can't show up nowhere and get anything, you know, not right now anyway. So it's like, you know, I feel sorry for them,
so you're not,
but they're doing well. The fact that they can show up somewhere and re-up and do what they have to do and be back on their feet. So he was president of the United States, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing well. Well, I don't know what's going to happen in 2016. I don't know. Jeb Bush is saying that he's going to run, but the whole scope of the country has changed from what it was when Reagan was in the White House, true Republican. It's changed. And so, you know, they're going to have to change their ideology to fit the times, and I don't know if those people want to do that.
Well,
I really
don't.
That's
always going to be the fight. And slowly by slowly, it's going to go the right way. But yeah, that's always been the fight, you know, people changing their ways and going what really makes sense for people. But when you're dealing with greed and currency and such, you know, it gets a little choppy, a little murky. So
that it does. It does get murky, but we're not gonna get murky because I'm actually going to take a quick break. I'm gonna play a song I think Whitney is gonna get a kick out of, but I don't know if you had it on your YouTube show, this song, but Well, I mean, I know you have some Bohannon on there, and I didn't want a lot of his songs were kind of loud.
Oh, Lord, Bohannon makes it funky. Yes, Lord, I had Bohannon on there. It's like a boom, boom, dang, dang.
I don't know if you have this song that I'm about to play on your show, but if you did or didn't, it really doesn't matter. But just, guys, to sit back and enjoy. Whitney and I will be back in about 5 to 6 minutes. Again, this is Segments from Saffron with artist Whitney Warden. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Well, all right. Star Child, citizens of the universe, recording angels. We have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mothership. I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. Light year groove. Well, all right. Fries, I dip in your hip and come on to the mothership. Loose boots, doing the bump. Hustle on over here.
Bye.
Dodge out here, citizens of the universe. I bring forth to you the good time on the mothership. Are you here? It in 3D. So good is good to me.
Okay, we're back, and for all my young listeners, I had some people trying to text me, ask me, what's that song? That actually is Parliament Funkadelic. Huh?
That was great, man. I was P-Funk.
I know. I could just picture you dancing and doing all kind of stuff. Yeah. I have this in my computer, on my computer. And normally that's my cleaning the house music. Anything that has like a fast tempo, if I'm doing stuff around the house, I'll listen to Parliament Funkadelic, and that's the long version. They have like a radio version that's, I think, like 3 or 4 minutes long.
Yeah, well, that's
but
good.
Who doesn't love?
I enjoy it. Yeah.
You said what?
I said I enjoyed every minute of it. It was just great. You know, that's back when they did the song 7 minutes, 9 minutes long. They just wanted you to groove off of it. That was it. Wasn't radio ready in 3 minutes and 43 seconds, you know.
That's like having – how many people were in Parliament Funkadelic?
Oh, man.
Like,
different facets. Yeah. Yeah, well, you had George Clinton, right?
Of course.
And then you got Bootsy Collins. I believe he's part of that type of, you know, that era.
Yeah.
You know, people.
Yeah, I met Bootsy.
You know. Really, did
you? Yeah. Yeah, I met him at James Brown's public funeral. He's tall. That dude's tall. That is a tall dude, even without hat. He's a tall dude. He seemed like he was really cool, down to earth. But, yeah, I it's a shame I didn't grow up in the 70s. But my father had a couple parties.
He used to play with James Brown.
Yeah, he did. Bootsy. Mm-hmm. He sure did. But yeah, that's good stuff. I just had to play that. I'm thinking Whitney, something going with Whitney. No,
that was
good.
I heard all the Dr. Dre cuts because it must have been like about three Dr. Dre songs.
Oh yeah, Let Me Ride.
One song.
Yeah.
It was dope though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, even it's so funny. I saw Behind the Music on VH1 Red Hot Chili Peppers. And Anthony Kiedis, the lead singer of Red Hot Chili Peppers, mm-hmm. named George Clinton as one of his mentors or one of his inspiration.
Really?
It was actually pretty interesting. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think before they really got popular, they used to, like, hang with George Clinton for a minute, or they knew him. I don't know. Something like that.
I used to love the Red Hot Chili Peppers, too. I had their first album, The Mother's Milk. I listened to so much different music. You didn't like it?
With
oh,
the sex
man, I dug it. And they had that Stevie Wonder song on there, too. Higher Ground.
See, I'm happy that I can listen. I like the Sex Magic or Blood Sex Magic something CD.
Oh, that's when
they got a little bit
more poppy, a little more. Like, I mean, it was still hot, but, you know,
yeah.
I like that Milk one. The gritty. I like gritty.
Yeah.
That's my
gritty.
Thing. I like gritty. Gritty. All right. Gritty. Gritty. Gritty.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Red Hot Chili. Mine, other than like R&B and jazz, I will have to admit this, and I keep saying this over and over again. I am a huge, huge U2 fan. Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's wrong with U2? Come on now.
My wife
What's wrong with you?
Stand you too. She was like, blah.
I like Joshua Tree.
I think U2 songs that I know of theirs, but I can understand why a person would not like U2 because they just seem so packaged. You know, Bono with the glasses and this and that, and looking to the sky and playing the guitar and the flower. You know, so it's like, okay, I get it. It's a U2 video. I get it. But you know, I dig Bono. I think Bono, you know, Bono's cool. But U2, it's like a cliche now to like U2. It's not cool anymore. It's almost like lie about it. Like when Ja Rule, still like Ja Rule, but 50 Cent killed his career. It's like, don't play that loud in front of people.
No, I like U2. And you probably still have not checked out Joy Division. You really would like Joy Division. You would.
I'll check it out. I'm still listening to stuff from looking for jazz records from Miles, you know, and looking for album covers. Because I love the Miles Davis album covers, it inspires me to do art. Because I want to do anything that I do, if it can be worthy of a Miles Davis album cover, I'm happy with it. That's what I'm also trying to do. So that's my push. So people, take a look at albums by Miles Davis, and that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I like that slant. He has so many different album covers. It was dope.
Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, it's. I don't know. I love just art, period. I appreciate everybody's creativity across the board. One thing, I had a writer actually when I was younger, before I started writing books and doing my thing. When you're in school, you have to get dragged off to those dreaded lectures or career days. And one thing that kind of stuck with me, in between me doing tic-tac-toe on my hand, I was like 9 years old and bored out of my mind. I forget the name of the writer, but, she said, you know, if you want to be dynamic in life, you can't have barriers. I do remember
that. Yeah.
And
you have to
do
things that you're not comfortable with doing. You have to go. If it doesn't feel comfortable, then that's probably this way you should go, because you'll be stuck in your same rut and you're doing something that you've never done before and trying to reach a place you never reached before.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to do that. Yeah, that's important.
You have to.
And people don't understand
and
they might not understand as you're doing it, but it's like, I got to do something outside, you know, because I'm trying to enter into something that's not the norm, you know, so.
But, you know, to each their own. I know a lot of people that actually stifled themselves because they did not want to check out another artist or to hear with somebody had to say, or really just not paying a lot of attention to what's going on. I think, and, you know, people can hate me later about this, but one thing I think with Madonna as an artist, one reason why her career has spanned 30 years, Madonna has a very, I think I said this in a previous show, Madonna has a very unique talent of crossing lines that other artists would not do. I'm not talking about the freaky stuff. I'm talking about going, I'm talking about just going in other genres and working with other artists. And the funny thing was, a lot of people did not know, is that Madonna, when she first came out, they were really deciding, the record company, on how they were going to market her, because her music played in the clubs for like years. And they were kind of sketchy, like everybody thought she was black. And
I was waiting for you to say it. She sounds funky. You know, she wasn't black. She didn't sound like a black to a black person, but she sounded dope. She sounded cool. And she was on all the black stations, and it was cool. But when she got accepted, then she went away. You know, I mean, she's still cool, but, you know.
One of my friends was like, I like Madonna when she's black.
Everybody
had
the little bracelets. They used to have the little gum bracelets on their arms.
And, you know, like somebody said the other day, I like Pink when she was black. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
We're to blast off, you know, that's where we're at. You know, you blast off with us, and then you go on to wherever, you know, starting ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I like such and such when they were black.
For the edgy one. You like who?
No, there's people like, I like such and such when they're, somebody said about Gwen Stefani. I like Gwen Stefani when she was black.
Oh, stop it.
Did I miss that? And
Gwen's is cool. You know, Gwen's cool. They had like a reggae-based band, but she wasn't black. She was just doing her thing.
No
and
doubt.
That was that 1990s alternative stuff. That was great, man. She was really great.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I know Eminem had a CD or something that came out. I used to be a big Eminem person. I like Slim Shady Eminem. I hate to admit that. He had me laughing.
He's an excellent MC, but I liked him when he was Slim Shady. I like when he did some other things that weren't always funny, you know. And then he got rugged, you know, whatever, you know. He's not a real rugged person, had a rugged lifestyle, so he always has to like kind of wrap around the fact that he might do it if he had to, but he didn't do it, you know. But he's still a hot rapper, you know. He's dope.
You know, Kid Rock, before he wasn't always like rock. Like, if you listen to his earlier stuff, he actually had a white boy high top fade. I don't know how that happened.
He looks pretty different. Yeah, I've seen it. He was tall.
Somebody said that he has a biracial son.
I mean, I don't doubt it. You know, he started off in hip hop, you know. Image is one thing, and what people do is another thing, you know. I mean, you know, he hangs out with Run DMC. I mean, as far as the show, you know, was concerned, he hung out with Run DMC or what have you. You know, he was cool with them, you know, visiting, and they were friends.
But he did?
I mean, it could be crap. You know what I'm saying? It could have been set up by Russell Simmons, but I'm saying it. they made it seem that way. I'm doing a good job with my language. I'm great, right? I'm doing good.
Oh, yeah, and I'm very proud of them. I'm happy that you're doing a pretty good job. But when are you going to do an art show? I think we need to see, other than taking pictures and posting on Facebook and posting on that one website and Twitter, I think that you need to put together a show. You collab with another visual artist.
It's time. I'm going to go down to Five Points this Saturday and rub elbows and hobnob and go down to also this gallery that I really want to go into. It's called Prior. I don't know if I can say that name, but it's an art gallery here. And I'm doing the things that I'm working on now, I really want to present to them, you know. But I do want to rub some elbows so I can collab with somebody. I think I like to start off like that first with somebody who either done it before or just, you know, and then put some things out. And I plan to do it this spring. I know I've been doing it for 2 years planning it, but I'm really feel strong about it now. So.
And for our listeners that just tuned in, tell us again the website where you have some of your work posted, like the pictures.
Oh. It's on Saatchi Art, which is SAATCHI Art.com. Put in my name, Whitney Warden. You know, I'm also at Mr. Whitney 69. That's Twitter. Follow me there. See what I'm doing, and I'll be posting different things out and what have you. But like I said, right now, as far as Atlanta's concerned, I'm planning to go down to Five Points and get affiliated with people down that way.
That's a great place to start. It really, really is.
Yeah.
And Whitney's artwork, I'm not just saying this because he's a friend of mine, but his artwork is actually very, very good, very edgy, but at the same time, it's edgy to the point where the masses can appreciate it. And that's the one thing about visual art that, in my opinion, even though I'm not a visual artist, but I am an admirer of visual art, is one thing that you have to do. And Whitney, of course, will be back. I'll probably get you back on sometime later this year, but I wanted to get Whitney on. This is the second show of the season. We're not going to have the show next week because I'm going to be out of town. And today I would like to tell my mother happy birthday, Geraldine Brunson. My mom,
happy
today
birthday.
It was her birthday. Yes, it was her birthday, so she enjoyed her day. And my Aunt Jackie's birthday is actually on the 19th of this month, later on this week. So I will be visiting there and having fun with my family. Haven't been there in a couple of years. But we'll have a show again on March 29th, and it's going to be Spit Your Fire Show. So for all spoken word poets, even some prose writers, if you want to have your work showcased and you read a small smidget of it and tell a little bit about yourself, we will be doing that on March 29th. Go to my Twitter. I am XOXO by SOK on Twitter. And also I will put a event up on Facebook for everyone to sign up. Space is going to be limited depending on how many people that we do have, but I encourage all spoken word artists and poets and even some writers, you know, I know y'all are out there, half of y'all are my friends on Facebook, to please sign up for it. I think it would be a really fun event that we can have on the show. And the show is online on Blog Talk, so it's heard all over the world. I had a listener not too long ago in Peru. So if you want to get yourself out there to the masses, this is one way to do it. But I thank Whitney so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It was
for
a wonderful
me.
Show.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And like I said, just tune in on the 29th, and we'll probably have Whitney back on later this year. So I'm going to do an outro of my song, my Saffron song. And everyone, take care. Have a blessed week. Happy early St. Paddy's Day to everyone that celebrates St. Paddy's Day. God bless. And just enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we will see you again on March 29th, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, my Twitter is XOXO by SOK. Just come on my Twitter. Follow me. Send me a message. Love to hear from you guys. Take care, and we will see you again.
Bye.
Mad about saffron. Oh, saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow.
call it Mellow Yellow.
Quite rightly,
they call me Mellow Yellow.
Quite rightly,
they call me Mellow Yellow.
About the saffron.